Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you would like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
Guy who runs a youth group at church, you are your kid's pastor. It's not the youth pastor's job to get your kids saved or to teach them the Bible. If the only Bible your kids get is Sunday morning here, I'm thankful they're getting it, but there's more, right? And anything you share with your kids throughout the week is going to land with more authority than what they share in service, right? If you're a parent, you might just want to just like jot something down that you think would be good for your family. And you know, on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night at dinner, just share it at dinner as part of the devotions. Or just get Jesus in your family. Get him out of this room and into your house, right? And while I'm on this roll right here, when you're correcting your kids, especially young kids, don't tell them not to do something because Jesus doesn't want them to. Own your house. Don't make Jesus the bad guy and then wonder why they don't worship him when they're teenagers. Does this make sense? God doesn't want you doing that. I'm like, good Lord, what's he got to do with this? You know, like, I just want to play video games. What's he care me playing video games? Not for nothing. God gave you the authority to set bedtimes. He's turned that over to you. He's turned over to you when the games get turned off. As a parent, you determine that, not him. Don't blame him, right? Like, I'm in charge of this house, right? Because one day your kids are going to learn how to read. They're going to find all kinds of things in this book you don't want them doing. Hallelujah. And that's all I have to say about that. Is that okay? Can I say that to you? God has anointed you to be parents. You're anointed to do it. He's put you in charge. Be in charge. And set boundaries with love and enforce them. Why not? Just because. That's what I think is best. You know? And if you don't like that, if you think I'm wrong, pray for Jesus to change my heart. Until then, that's what we're doing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor. Appreciate you sharing that with me. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to do a fairly famous passage of Scripture. I am not going to teach my way through it. We're in our Life Link message series. I'll talk about that in a moment. Matthew chapter 6, you guys there? Matthew chapter 6, we're going to start in verse 6. If you will read to yourself with me, I am in the NASB. New American Standard Version. But you, Jesus is talking to you, when you pray, this is the first time and only time I'm going to stop in the midst of reading this, Jesus is assuming that you're going to have a prayer life. He was so naive as to think that, you know, these people are going to want to talk to me after I leave, and I'm going to call that prayer. And so he's saying, when you pray, not if. Not when you need something, pray and say. But you, say me. But you, look to your neighbor, say you. Tell your neighbor when you pray. Not if you pray. When you pray. Okay. Go into your inner room. Close your door. Are you with me here? We're back in the Bible. I'm sorry. I distracted you. But when you pray, go into your inner room. Close your door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. I think it's a good word. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetitions as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way. Our Father, who's in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And don't lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And all God's people said, amen. Father, we love you today. We pray that you would open your word to our mind and our spirit, Father, that we would just get what you're speaking to. Wow. Today, by your spirit, Holy Ghost, you are the honored guest here today. And you have full authority in this service. We love you, love you, love you. And I feel like the Lord is still working on feet. So while I'm preaching, I dare you to receive of his Spirit as I am speaking in the name of Jesus. Amen. Ha. Ha. Bless you, whoever sings. So last week, we talked a little bit about our Life Link message series because your real link to life is in the prayer closet. And if you don't have a secret place, I challenge you to get one. And here's what's going to happen. I'm going to preach today. I'm going to preach words, but the Lord is going to move in spirit. And something is going to happen on the inside of you by the Spirit of God. This isn't me. This isn't mind control. It's not the power of suggestion. It is the Holy Ghost of God going to ignite something on the inside of you. And it's going to bear great fruit in the coming weeks. Amen? Last week, we talked about the benefits of prayer. And I think we could talk about that forever. I talked about three benefits, but there's unlimited benefits. We talked about the power of impartation, that when you get around Jesus, you get Jesus on you and in you. You get some of his life in your life. We call that impartation. You call it whatever you want. You call it transformation. You can call it whatever you want. We talked about when you get in the secret place with God, you grow in the knowledge of him. We got to know him. A lot of people are in the world talking about him who don't actually know him. That's a good word, Pastor. And number three, we get to discern his will. A lot of people say they just don't know what God wants them to do. I don't know. I don't have direction. I don't know. I have just found that when you know him and you discern his will, he may not tell you exactly what to do, but if you're sensitive to his conviction, and you know that the conviction is not there, you're walking with him. You know, we have a yes with God until we get a no. It's not the other way around. We don't have to ask permission to do everything. We believe that we're transformed, that we carry his Spirit, and when we're not going in the right direction, he'll let us know. It's not the other way around. We have too much of a sin consciousness that we're constantly being weary of sin instead of having a spirit consciousness, a grace consciousness, saying, I'm walking with him, and when I get off the path, he'll tell me. Right? And so we have to stay sensitive to the Spirit. We have to spend time with the Spirit so that we can be sensitive to for him revealing his will. Again, there's just going to be an impartation of the Father's heart for you to be in the secret place, and you're going to be drawn into the secret place after this, and I make no apology for it. It's going to be very good. It's going to bear a lot of really good fruit in your life, and let's get into the let's unpack this scripture if we could. First thing I want to point out here is I want to challenge you to create a secret life with Jesus. When I talk about having a secret life, a lot of times people talk about their double life, the part of their life that's sin. And too many people have a secret life. And the problem is they're keeping the secret life from Jesus as opposed to having a secret life with Jesus. All right, let's look at the scripture here. Kelly, if you take five more pictures of me, I don't know what I'm going to do here. You're all right. No, you're good. You're good, Kelly. Oh, I have a word for you anyways. Why don't you stand up? This is good. I forgot about that. I appreciate that. You're probably doing that just to remind me that I had a word for you. I saw you worshiping, and I saw you. Have you ever seen a picture of the Gulf Stream? Have anybody seen the picture? And it's like there's the ocean, then there's like this current going through. It's a different colored current. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It's like there's no boundaries in the ocean, but for some reason there's this current going through the ocean. And I saw that with you, and I saw you were on basically the edge of the two currents. Now, your heart is not on the edge, right? You love Jesus, right? So this is not that. But I saw you, for some reason, you felt like, I can't get fully to where I want to get in Christ. Does that make sense? It's not a heart issue, right? It's not like you're living a double life and you're not sure you want to follow him. You do want to follow him. And but I saw you. And then I saw you. You weren't in the current anymore. It's like the water was removed. And I saw you were running towards Jesus, dragging an anchor. And I just feel like where God has for you to go, you're going to have to drop some things that have been important. And it's like, you're like, I want to bring them with me. And Jesus is like, I didn't call them. Has anybody seen that old movie, The Jerk? I hate that I know this. Okay, the over 40 crowd is with me here. So there's a scene in The Jerk, right? And if you haven't seen the movie, just don't. This is Jesus redeeming my BC life. And so in The Jerk, he was rich, and then he loses everything, right? And so he says, and everybody's leaving him, and he's like, I don't need any of this stuff. I don't need any of this stuff except this remote. Nothing but this remote in this paddleboard game. I don't need anything but this remote in this paddleboard game and this drink, you know? And so he's trying to just be independent and free and running, but he has his junk that like, oh, actually, I don't want to go without this junk. And I feel like God is calling you, like, I want to go, but I want to bring the junk with me. And Jesus is an amazing filter. He's an amazing junk filter. Right? You know, and you try to get through the fence, except the thing won't come with you. And the filter is there for a reason, because it's not helping. Right? And so we try to go with Jesus, but bringing our stuff. And Jesus is like, listen, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that you have need of will be added to you. And so sometimes the very thing you're trying to hold on to, he's got a better version of it on the other side. Sometimes he has a redeemed version of it on the other side that you can't bring with you, right? But he's called you, and there's a drawing that's happening, and I really feel like it's going to be accelerated if you just really trust him in the transition. Amen? Amen. Good word. That's a good word right there. That's a good word right there. I like that. I like that. That's a good word right there. Where was I? Create a secret life with Jesus. Matthew 6:6. You ready? But Jesus says to you, but you, when you pray, we talked about when, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who's in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. I like prayer. I'm into prayer. We have 3 prayer meetings a week at this church. That's a big deal, right? We have more prayer meetings than preaching meetings. We like them. And there's people who talk a lot about the prayer movement today, the prayer movement. I kind of rail against it because the prayer movement started on Pentecost, right? It started in the upper room. It's been happening for a couple thousand years. Here's my other challenge with the prayer movement. When all your prayer is in public, we're not fulfilling what Jesus told us to do. Jesus never said, go on the National Mall and pray in front of America. He didn't say, pray on a televised meeting. Make sure America hears you praying. He said, go in secret. Go in secret and pray. Now, I got nothing wrong. I got nothing against the prayer meeting, the corporate prayer meeting. Clearly, all throughout Acts, there's corporate prayer meetings. But at some point, we got to say, are we putting on a show here? Are we praying so the pastor can see us pray? We want the people to see how anointed we are in prayer. Oh, look at that prayer. That was a good one. Wait till I get up there because I'm going to put in 4 scriptures and 2 prophetic words and a vision. They're going to see how anointed I am in this prayer meeting. And it's like it just becomes something different. But Jesus said, listen, when you pray, go into the secret place. Go into the secret place. And I'm here to tell you, there are treasures waiting for you in the secret place. There's treasures. He says here, listen, he says, pray to your Father who's in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, I have nothing wrong with publicly praying. I don't have a problem with it if it's done with the right heart. I don't have any problem praying in public. But it just says here there isn't necessarily a reward for it. Your relationship with Jesus cannot be based on what you do publicly or how other people receive you. This is a trap, and I'll talk about it in a moment, but this is a trap that traps you in religion. Nah, I don't want to go there. I'm in a minute. But you have to have a secret life with Jesus. You have to have a life with Jesus that only you and he knows. There has to be testimonies in your life that nobody knows but Christ. There has to be things that only the Spirit of God saw you do. There have to be miracles that you perform that nobody on earth knows. I like to prophesy over people and not tell them my name. I like to go places and prophesy and just release things in people's lives. And they're like, wow, who are you? That's not important. Jesus is for you. And dip. Be like, this is between you and Jesus. Right? I like to go to conferences and not tell people I'm in ministry. You know, just be a dude. Like, hey, you know, I just feel like this is what Jesus wants you to know. And just leave. And people are like, I don't know who that was. Sometimes the Lord will bring it back around. I remember I ministered to Travis one time. He didn't know me from Adam. He didn't know it was me until he showed up in this church. That sounds funny, but God moved him from Canada. Maybe it was Virginia. But anyways, he moved him, told him, move to South Florida. And he showed up at this church. Now, what if I try to drag Travis with me? I've had a funny thing happen to me that the Lord has taught me in the prophetic, that I went to a church one time, and the pastor would pray for people, and then the prophet would come and give them a word. And it was funny that all of the prophetic words were, you're supposed to move and be a part of this church. And I'm like, well, that's a good way to grow a church right there. Put a little God manipulation on people, and boom, your church is growing, right? And so I said, you know, I don't want to manipulate people, but, you know, if I feel people are supposed to move here, maybe I'll try that one time, you know, because I like growing a church. And so I had a word for one young person one time. I'm talking to him, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, and I really feel like the Lord is going to move you. You know, you should be a part of this. And he's like, yeah, that's good, but I go to college in North Carolina. It's like, okay, guess that was wrong. Tried it again, same thing. Oh, yeah, I'm moving back to California tomorrow. Okay, that was the Lord teaching me. Don't do that. You don't need to do that. Just stop doing that. You look foolish. Stop it. I'm like, well, I guess I'll stop. So I meet Travis in Canada. Have a word for Travis. Mighty call on his life. This, that, and the other. And then I just leave. You know, please tell me I didn't give you a business card. We'll just say no. No business card. I don't even carry business cards. I go to pastor meetings. Like, do you have a card? I'm like, no, I don't actually. Just, I don't know. And they're like, you don't have a business card? Like, I'm not selling anything. I got none for sale. You know, like, if you're looking for a church, maybe, but if you already have one, like, you know, work it out. And so, you know, I just talked to Travis, leave, and I didn't try to drag him with me through the filter. I just trusted Jesus. Show up in Florida, and a year later, or 9 months, 6 months later, he shows up in Florida. You know, God will do what God needs to do in your life. You don't have to manipulate it. You don't have to put your hands all over it. There has to be a secret life where you just say, this is between me and you, Jesus. There's dreams in my heart that since only you can fulfill them, Lord, I only need to tell them to you. He's a good God, and he's worthy of your trust. But we have to have this secret life with Jesus. In Philippians 3, we talked about this last week. He says, his prayer was that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. I want to know Jesus, and I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. His resurrection power is what will overcome everything in this world. Now, if I try to get, you know, I was going to put a picture of this up. Many of you have heard this joke already, but I was in Canada this last week, had really, really good time, good ministry time, had some really great divine appointments, and I don't know how you feel about Benny Hinn, but if you're my friend, you like him. I was at a Benny Hinn meeting, and it's been my prayer for about 15 years that Benny Hinn would pray for me. I went up there, and I have friends up there, and they were just like, Benny Hinn's coming. I'm not sure. I'm like, yeah, I want him to pray for me. I've been praying for about 15 years. These are fellow pastors. And they're like, I'm not sure. I'm like, I want him to pray for me. There was one time, I don't know if I shared this publicly. I was early in my walk. No, actually, I was about 4 or 5 years in. And I began suffering from an illness, and I didn't know what it was. And it was kind of like an autoimmune issue. Like, I started having this lethargy come over my entire body. My energy was sapped, and I did not know what was going on. I was scared of what it meant for me. I had a young family. I had a wife. I had a very small daughter and a young son. And I was getting worried on where this was going to go. And I was trying to think, Jesus, what am I going to do? And I used to wake up early, and I would kind of pray, but I would watch Benny Hinn every morning. I'd sit through the offerings and all. I'm not going to lie. I would just, $1,000 prayer partner, whatever. I was sitting through all of it because I just wanted the anointing that was on his life. And one day, at the end of one of his little telecasts, he said, now I'm going to pray for you. And I was like, I need prayer, you know. And I felt the anointing of God start at the top of my head, and it went all the way through my body. And then I was completely healed. I'm like, oh, I just felt it come off of me. Now, I don't worship Benny Hinn. Don't get me wrong. I do worship the same God he worships. And he seems to have a secret life with Jesus. You read his book, Good Morning, Holy Spirit. He talks all about his secret life. And it's blessed a lot of people. And so anyways, as I don't have a lot of time to get into this, and I'm not, this is not a promotional speech for Benny Hinn by any stretch. But if you track the last, you know, 20 years of revivals, 30 years of revivals, you see a common thread of them going through Benny Hinn. If you, there's a, you know, well, I don't follow Toronto, I follow Brownsville. Well, yeah, it goes through Benny Hinn too. Where Stephen Hill hid. Stephen Hill led the Brownsville revival, and he hid in the lobby of a hotel that he knew Benny Hinn was staying in for him to pray for him. I mean, just Bay of the Holy Spirit revival. This guy had a divine appointment with, I mean, there's, it just runs through, right? And I was just, John Arnett grew up with him. I follow Randy Clark. Randy Clark talks about going to Benny Hinn and desperately wanting him to lay hands. It just runs. If you're anointed, I want you to pray for me. Amen? And so I have hungered and thirsted, lusted, you might even say. I'm not even sure why I'm telling this story, but I remember now. So long story short, I wind up, Benny Hinn calls me on stage to pray for me. You know, I get laid out. And let me tell you this. I wasn't going to tell you this. I think I will. I'm laid out on the ground. Now, I've been laid out on the ground to this stage before, and there are very anointed people who minister here. And I'm on the ground. Benny Hinn is just, he's wrecking the room. That's all I can really say. He is just destroying the crowd. And as I'm laying on the ground and I'm looking up, there was like this cloud over the whole room except directly above the stage, and it was open. And I saw angels looking down. If you've ever seen the eye of a hurricane, I've been through a bunch of hurricanes and only passed through the eye once. And I remember looking up, and it was really blue. And I knew there was storm. It looked just like that. I looked up, and I was like, and those angels, I was like, this is very good. You know, I am in a good place. I'm not getting off this stage. They're going to have to drag me off of this stage. You know, they can say, we're going to clear the stage. Not me. You know, like, I'm not going anywhere. You're going to have to carry me off of here. And eventually he had me picked up, and he hit me with his jacket, which I'm okay with. He can hit me with a shoe. He can do whatever he wants. I don't care. He didn't realize that I took his anointing. I just stole his mantle at that moment. So you can expect great things in the coming days here. But at the end of the meeting, he has this, you know, there's a professional side to ministry, and you got to learn how to do stuff, right? Like, if you don't speak well, you're probably not going to preach. Work out the speaking gift. If you don't read the Bible, you're probably not going to preach for very long. Read the Bible, right? You hear me? There's a couple things you have to work out. Wear clean clothes. Get your hair trimmed. You know what I mean? Present yourself well. So at the end of the meeting, Benny Hinn's got to figure out how to dip out without getting completely, you know, crushed. And so what he does is he says, now for 3 minutes, I want you to yell out the name of Jesus. And so people are like, all right, that's going to get things stirred up. And so he disappears while everybody's screaming Jesus, right? Which is good. Look at Jesus. And, you know, I'm disappearing because you're not looking at me now, right? And so he gives the microphone to Steve Long. He tells Steve, you know, whatever. And so Steve is exhorting everybody to shout out the name of Jesus. And so Steve Long is on the end. There's like crowds here, right? Reaching. It looks like a stadium event, right? So Steve Long is here. John Arnott's behind him, right? Have you seen this picture? There's Steve Long, there's John Arnott, and then there's me. Standing. There's just the three of us in this large crowd. Steve Long is leading the meeting. John Arnott is being the apostle. I'm looking for my wife, right? I'm just like, she's out here somewhere. Somewhere she's out here. Where is she? I don't know where she is. It looks like we're leading the meeting. And the crowd is drawing my anointing, you know? I'm just looking for my wife. Right? But some people feel like if I can get close enough to John Arnott and Steve Long and all these people see me on stage, then that will make me an apostle. And that's not how it works. It's not how it works. Benny Hinn could hit me with his jacket all day long. If it's outside the Lord's will, nothing's going to happen. If I don't want to follow Jesus, he can hit me with his car. He can hit me with a lawsuit. It doesn't matter. It's just nothing's going to happen. Right? Because God is God. And if I don't have a secret relationship with Jesus. Now, Jesus knew I was trying to get on that stage. Jesus knew that if Benny didn't call me, I'm getting up there one way or another. Because I checked out some of the bodyguards. I was bigger than a couple of them. And I know how to distract people, too. Hey, he's doing a... Right? I'm slick like that, you know? I didn't grow up in church. I got some moves. You know what I'm saying? I got some moves. I got a secret relationship that I was ready to pull out. And no, but it worked out well for me. And but I'm not going to put on my business card, Benny Hinn prayed for me. Invite me to your church. Right? Because that doesn't matter. It's not people recognizing you. It's not what man says about you. Now, we need to grow in favor with man and with God. And there's some great preachers who fell in sin, and then they come back and they're restored. But even though they've grown in favor with God, they didn't grow back in favor with man, and their ministry is never really restored. You know what I'm saying? And so we need to grow in favor, but I don't need the right guy to recognize me for me to come into my call. Right? I need Jesus. Period. Period. And that leads me to the second point here. You know, we need to create a secret life with Jesus. But we also, number two, need to, prayer causes a hunger for Jesus. A hunger for Jesus. Follow me for a moment, if you would. He says here in Matthew 6, again, he says that we're supposed to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, he says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And here's what I've seen. you know, the anointing of God is it's priceless. It is precious. It is the key to your faith. But what I have found is after you get saved and you get around the anointing, not only do you have the anointing in you, because when you get saved, you're sealed for redemption with the Holy Spirit. Amen? You can't confess Jesus as Lord without Holy Spirit. Amen? And then when you get around church and you learn how to do church, you start confusing your spiritual abilities with your spiritual relationship with Jesus. And you begin judging people by the outward appearance of their righteousness instead of their heart for God. Right? Now, the anointing that's in us is for us. The anointing that's on us is for other people. Now, you know this, but I want you to hear this. I'm saved. By the grace of God, I'm saved. And by the fact that I chose to follow Jesus. Bless you, Felipe. I chose to follow Jesus, right? You have a choice. Bless you. You have a choice. And some people have been taught that once you get in, you have no choice. You can't get out. Like you're locked in. Like it's impossible for God and you to separate. And I would agree with that, except for the fact in the Minor Prophets, God talks about how he divorced Israel. And I've been studying this divorce of God and Israel because they didn't want to follow him. Now, if God can break his everlasting covenant with Israel, that the whole old covenant is based on, it's a little naive of me to think that I'm a lock, that I don't have to further foster this relationship. And I have known married couples who are married, but no longer lived in the same bedroom. Now, technically they're married, but are they really? Are they married in their heart? No. And so what happens is, especially you preachers, you know what I'm talking about right now. You know that you can be so ministry-minded that you mistake the anointing of God on your ministry for a personal relationship with God. And then all of a sudden, all you're talking to God about is what you're going to do in ministry. And the anointing that's on you and your, we'll just call it this way, your church ability. Now, in certain churches, it's measured different ways. Some it's your healing gift or your speaking gift or your ability to serve others. You got to wear the right church clothes. You know who's saved because they're wearing the church clothes, as if that's a marker of salvation. Well, we get it the same way. You know, they know that they show up early, they serve, they do all this stuff. But I have found that you can show up early, do all the stuff, and heal the sick, and still your personal relationship with Jesus has dried up. God will use anything available, even you. It's not a measurement. Let me say it this way. The anointing is not a reward for your relationship. The gifts and call are without repentance. So once that gift is on you, it doesn't go away. Now, the power ebbs and flows. But you can walk away from Jesus, the gift is still on you. So if you're measuring it by the gift, you're measuring with the wrong measuring rod. Because all that says is that God is true to his word, that he won't take it back. It doesn't mean that you're in right relationship with him. So how do you measure your relationship with Jesus? And here's what I have found, and it's convicting. What is your hunger for Jesus like? You measure it by hunger. Are you hungering and thirsting after righteousness still, or is prayer something that is something else you do? Is your life based in the secret place, and that's where your flow of life comes from? Or is your life based on what you do and who you hang out with and what you do with your money and work and your friends? Has spending time with Jesus become drudgery? Is worshiping for a whole half hour seem like a long time to you? And I'm not saying this to be rude or mean. I'm saying, hey, we got to judge off of what God judges. Where is your, do you still have a hunger for God? When is the last time you pray like, Lord, I'm not getting out of this prayer closet until you speak to me. I'm not getting up till you touch me, Jesus. I'm not letting go until you touch me. I need a fresh touch from God. When's the last time you opened your Bible? You said, I'm starting right here at page 979, and I'm reading until you speak to me. And if I get to the end, I'm going to go back to the beginning and start from there. And I'm not getting up till you talk to me because I got to hear your voice. I'm not just talking about problem-related prayer. I'm talking about, I'm not here to solve anything other than to know you and in the power of your resurrection. You know, women, how many of you want your husband to take you out on a date just so you can get physical later? That's not a date at all, is it? That's ulterior motive. If your prayer life is based on what God can do you after prayer, there's a problem. Now, God is happy to show up anytime you pray. Don't get me wrong. But it ain't the best. You're still married, but living in separate rooms. So you got to look at, where's my hunger these days? Where's my priorities? Now, I don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying the measurement is how often you come to church. Okay, let me put a caveat to that. If you're not going to church once a week, you got issues. I'm not saying you got to go to 5 meetings a week. But if church attendance isn't part of your life, then this isn't a real complicated conversation. Hallelujah. But are you hungering? Are you thirsting? Because what I found, and I'm not trying to be heavy, I'm really not trying to rebuke or anything, I'm trying to encourage you. I have found if you're not hungering and thirsting after righteousness, your righteousness decreases. Righteousness becomes less and less important in your life, and then you find you're in all kinds of sin you never thought you'd be in. And then it goes a step further. You don't think it's a big deal. That's what happens. You find yourself like, oh, I never used to do that. I'm glad I've grown from that. You ain't grown. That's not growth. That's not growth. If you were 6 feet and now you're 4 feet, you're like, oh, I'm glad I wasn't all tall like that anymore. No, that's not growth. I remember I used to never be convicted about this. I was so religious back then. Now I can just be in the midst of all this sin and it doesn't bother me. Hello, that's not growth. That's not hungering and thirsting after righteousness. That is an indication that you have measured your relationship with God with the wrong measuring rod. And I don't speak this to rebuke. I speak this because God has so much better. He's calling you to so much better. There's such a more rich treasure that he has laid up for you than these little crumbs that you have settled for. I love fresh conviction. I love my heart being open to fresh conviction. I love God's will revealed in my life. I love seeing where I'm not getting it right. I love it. I don't do stuff wrong so he can tell me I'm doing stuff wrong. But I like when I see that I'm doing stuff wrong so I can do something about it. God would only point stuff out to you that he's given you power to fix. He's not in the condemnation. He's not saying, look, you're stupid, huh? Look, it's stupid. I'm glad you realized. That's not God. God is saying, I don't know if you recognize this, but this is wrong. Why are you showing me that, God? Because I have going to empower you to do right. But you have to hunger and thirst for it. He told us not to cast our pearls before swine. You think he's doing it? Lord, I want secrets. I want answers. He's like, yeah, I want you. Let's make a trade. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Appreciate that. Appreciate that. Third thing I'm going to show you here. Ooh, I feel the anointing of God so strong right now. Ha. 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 So we need to create a secret place. I don't know, whatever number one was. Number two, Hunger for, sometimes, let me tell you something. I'm gonna give my haters a little ammunition right now. Stuttering. Sometimes when the anointing comes on me, it's hard to read, and I forget people's names. I forget people's names. I'm like, you. She's like, I'm your wife. I'm like, I don't remember. And I'll read in the letters. See, I'll get spiritual about it, see, because I'm seeing the spirit realm. I don't know what it is, though. When I first really got anointed by God, it's pretty funny. When the anointing would fall in a room, the room would turn sideways on me, and I'd be like this. I'd have to catch myself, which is funny. I don't know why I'm telling you that. Number three, write these words down. Give and forgive. Give and forgive. Watch this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. Will you put that up for me, please? Jesus says we are to pray this. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts or sins as we forgive those who sin against us or forgiven our debtors. Leave that up if you would for a second. First, I want to come against a false teaching. There is a false teaching out there that says once you're saved, you don't have to ask for forgiveness anymore because all your sins have been forgiven. Except that Jesus told us that every day we're supposed to ask for to be forgiven. So that's a perfect teaching as long as you're not following Jesus, which is where that teaching may take you. Oh, that's a good one right there. I might write that one down. Watch out. That's, boom, boom, boom. Watch out. Listen, we live in an area that never has to pray verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. So they think they never have to pray verse 12, forgive us our debts as we forgive others. You can get so wealthy in your soul. You can get so wealthy in the natural. You can get so wealthy in your mind. Your life feels so great that you no longer feel like you have to ask to be forgiven of your sin. Because you are living in your own righteousness, not the righteousness of God. And we live in an area that thinks that they're perfect. So much money, just so much wealth, so much. I can rely on myself. I don't need God. Right, you don't need God to get a car, but you're sure going to wish you had him when you die. Nah, my kids are acting crazy. I wonder, yeah, because you can't buy righteousness. You know, you got these little hellions running around because you ain't got Jesus in your home. Come on. Right? Oh, Jesus. Okay, listen. If your kids act like they got a demon, you got to ask where they get it from. They live in your house. You're their covering. Let me take that a step further, just here for a second. If you're in a church and there's a sin going wild in the church, it comes from somewhere. It ain't hard to see. You know? You go to somebody's house and the yard looks terrible. Why is that? Because they're not taking care of it. You can't blame the grass. I don't know what's wrong with his grass. It's just not growing. Have you watered it? Nope. The Bible says the Lord rains on the just and the unjust. You know, no. That's not what that means. He gave you this yard. Does he pay the mortgage? No, you do. Water the grass. When you gossip about your kids, you're kind of uncovering yourself. Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's end with something happy. So, God has stuff for you in the secret place. And it's possible that you have not come into everything God has for you because you haven't asked that second part about being forgiven of your sin. It's possible that you're walking with debts, spiritual debts, to God. Now, God is so good that He forgives so quickly. But it requires this relationship. He's not saying, you know, what really bothers me about this false teaching is that this is part, our relationship is based on the forgiveness of God. And he says, you can just leave that out of your relationship from now on. You don't have to go back to that. People do that when they get married. What got you the person, you stop doing after you get married, and you wonder why your marriage isn't any good. I love that when we were dating, we would always go on nature hikes, or we'd always go out, you know, to dinner, or we'd always go to the movie. He used to buy me gifts. Then we got married and it stopped. He's like, well, we got married. Why do I still have to do that? Because that's the key to her heart. And so we come into this relationship with Jesus through forgiveness, and we feel like we could get through. Oh, we'll just cut that part off now. Oh, yeah, cut out the part where I gave my life for you. Yeah, let's just leave that part out of the relationship. What? I've moved on from that. To what, Buddha? I mean, what have you moved on to? Sin? Like, what have you moved on to? How about moving back? You know, the movers are coming back this way. Get a U-Haul and get all your junk and move it back here. Because some stuff's got to get healed. Listen, get in the prayer closet and just be real with Jesus. He is so real. You're not going to surprise him with your junk. Not like he doesn't know. You're not going to say, I don't want to talk to him about this. Shh, Jesus is listening. You know, he knows. He knows. He's not offended. He's not scared. Oh, gosh, they looked at pornography. I don't know what I'm going to tell him. Holy Ghost, what am I going to tell him? I don't, Dad! You know, he's not doing that. He's not doing that. He knows. He knows, and he's waiting for you to bring it to him. He's waiting for forgiveness to be dispensed right there in the secret place. You know, you can ask counsel all over the place, and I'm all for counsel. I married a counselor. She's more than happy to counsel me. But at the same point, you got to start with Jesus. Start with Jesus. Pastor, I don't know what to do about this. And I say to people, what did God say? They say, I don't know. I say, did you ask? No. I bring them into the conversation. And in the secret place, actually, let me do this, Mike. Stay there. Can I have the drummer and the guitar player come up? Who I know them, and I know they have names, but I love them. You can sit down for a minute there, Mike. I had a vision in my dream last night, and so I just want to see if it happens. Hallelujah. You'll never know unless you try. So we're going to pray together here. And we're going to pray that God releases something. You two figure out what you're going to play. It's all an experiment, right? When we go live with this church, it's going to be amazing. We're going to be amazing. Honey, we're going to be amazing. It's going to be Steve Long, John Arnett, and me looking for you. Huh? But listen, God is calling people to the secret place. He's calling you to your prayer. He's calling you to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Don't settle for the sin that you're trapped in. Don't settle for the sin you're trapped in. Don't settle. God has something. Oh, he has something so much better. Play something, Marco. Yeah. Father, in the name of Jesus, something just manifested and I don't like it, so we're just going to make it go away. Father, I thank you that the blood of Jesus is over this meeting. I just declare freedom on your people right now. There's someone in the room and you just felt hot like oil on the top of your head. You just got free to that thing. When I talked about you getting released of your bondage, you just got set free. Just release the power of God over your life right now. Huh. Give me a little more, Luke. So, Father, right now, I just believe right now the Lord is about to ignite something on the inside of people. Your wife. You sit next to your wife. That person, I love you. I just feel like there's people in the room right now, and the Lord really just wants to set you free. You're kind of like that prodigal son. There's a story in the Bible, and there's a boy who had a really good, rich dad who would always take care of him, but he's bitter in his heart. So he found himself doing a filthy job, wondering, why am I here when my dad is so good? And your life is, at least part of it, is filthy right now. We're not talking about you stumbled and hit a mud puddle. Your life is filthy. And the Father right now is saying, come home. Come home. Come home. And I'm going to wash you off. Give me more, Luke. Yeah. Huh. He's saying, come home right now. Ha. Huh. And so right now, I hear you saying, well, what are people going to think if I come up again? Who cares? I'm not in here to look cute. I'm here to get free. The world needs me free. So, Father, all over this room right now, there's just a couple people, and it's just time to get free. Ha. Huh. I just declare freedom over your life right now. And I declare the shame is going to come off. And Father, we pray. We pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would help us to walk in purity. That we would live in our inheritance. That we would live out of the secret place. We would live with an eye on your righteousness, not on our works. It's not what we can do for you. It's what you've already done for us. Stand with me if you would. Huh. Put your hand in your heart. Don't walk around. Don't get distracted on me here, because there's some people. You need to come forward. I need to pray this over you right now. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to put you on stage, but just come forward. And you're like, I'm ready. Just come on forward. I want to pray for you. I'll wait. You're like that boy. You're living in filth. Looks clean, but this one area of your life, you're like, I only want people that God is talking to right now. And if you're humble enough to come and get what God's got for you, huh? Who else? Who else? Just get right. Just do it. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm just talking about you need this thing that God is pouring out right now. You need supernatural power to overcome it. And you're saying, you know, the cost is humility. That's all you have to pay, really. You just got to be humble enough to say, you know, I'm not all sufficient. I'm going to count down from 5. That's for you. Come on. 5, 4, run forward if it's you. Don't miss it. Ooh, your heart is beating. Just come do it. It's racing and you're panicking. Tell the panic to shut up. Tell it to shut up. 3, 2. Last call, fair warning. Closed. Line up for me. I'm going to pray for you. Bring it up. Begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. If you're a believer, just pray in the Holy Ghost.